Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. Hey NCC, I'm so glad that you're joining us today as we are kicking off a brand new series entitled Simple Prayers. And this is not just a Sunday morning series about prayer. We are also putting this into action every Sunday evening, 6 p.m. right here in North Point. I encourage you to come and be a part. We're going to be meeting together for some corporate prayer moments, and then we're going to be having food afterwards. It's going to be a fun time. And I really encourage you to be a part of not just these Sunday morning messages, but also the Sunday evening prayer experiences. And we're wrapping up a summer where we just came off of a summer where we were talking about Jesus, not just who Jesus was, but really talking about how Jesus lived, and that what we see in Jesus should be seen in us. And that just leads us right into this series, really, because one of the things that we see in Jesus's life is prayer. And that's what we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks. Now, when we say we saw prayer in Jesus' life, prayer was not original, obviously, with Jesus. God's people had been praying for a really long time. And the Old Testament, as we read through the Old Testament is filled with people who were praying. It was filled with prayers that we have written down and recorded. And prayer was really a fundamental part of God's people's lives. The lifestyle of the Jewish people, so much of it revolved around prayer. And every Jewish young person would have grown up reciting their prayers, which makes it a little odd that Jesus' disciples would say to him, "Teach us how to pray." I mean, if they were raised by parents who were praying, and they were raised by leaders who were praying, who were quoting their memorized and traditional prayers, but yet they requested, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." What were they really asking in that moment? I don't think they were really asking, "Teach us to pray," because they knew how to pray. They had been praying their entire lives, but what they were really asking Jesus was this: "Teach us how to pray the way that you pray." Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 11, it says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." Now, I believe this request came from two different angles. The first was this, was that you don't pray like we pray. And the second was this: you get results that we don't get. Teach us to pray because I like the way that you pray. You pray personal. You pray passionate. You pray purposeful and powerful. I like the way that you pray because I like the results that you get. You live with this sense of peace and joy and love and grace on the inside, not to mention the miracles that we see you do. But before Jesus begins to teach his disciples how to pray, he does something very, very important. He first teaches them how not to pray. This is what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And when you pray," Jesus talking to his followers here, "and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Jesus says, don't pray like the hypocrite. Don't be like the hypocrite. Now, a hypocrite is simply one who indulges in hypocrisy. You say, okay, well, what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is defined as this: the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. It means pretense. This is where we get pretension. the thing of pretending or acting as if you are better than someone else. And now, isn't it interesting that the same root Greek word where we get the word hypocrite is the same word that we also get the word actor. Now, we know this to be true, that Jesus had so much grace and so much patience for the sinner. But let us also be reminded that Jesus had no tolerance for the pretender. He had grace and patience for the sinner, but no tolerance for the pretender, no tolerance for the hypocrite, no tolerance for the one who would pray long, eloquent, and inauthentic prayers to impress people that were listening to them pray. Why? Because Jesus knew the motives. The Bible tells us clearly that Jesus knew men's hearts, and he knew the motive of the pretender. It wasn't pure, and their life did not back up what they were pretending to be on the street corner and who they were pretending to be in the synagogue. And this is why Jesus says they have received their reward in full. They were praying to impress others, and they did. They were not praying to engage God, and they didn't. And Jesus says, don't be like them. There's another story that we have that Jesus tells, and it really just brings this even clearer into focus of what Jesus is really desiring from his followers. And it's found in Luke chapter 8. And scripture says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So he's talking about those who thought they were better than. He's talking about these pretenders, these hypocrites who he was just talking to in Matthew. And he said, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, the Pharisee would have been one of the religious leaders. The tax collector would have been one of the most despised people in the Jewish tradition. It says the Pharisee stood by himself in this posture of elitism, and he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even this tax collector over there. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, Jesus says. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. What Jesus is stressing again here is that the humble are going to be heard by God. The humble will be justified by God. The humble will be rewarded by God. And God, and Jesus is teaching us that those who come before God with so much pretense, the ones who come before God in this posture of elitism, those who come before God in this way that this Pharisee came before God, he wasn't even justified. God didn't even hear what he had to say, because God is not interested in the pretender. But there was the tax collector beating his chest saying, I am a sinner, and I am in desperate need of grace and mercy. And he says, that's the one who is justified before God. You see, the purpose of prayer is not to check a box. The purpose of prayer is not to feel good about ourselves. The purpose of prayer is not to impress other people. No, the purpose of prayer is to engage God in purpose and in intentionality. And so then we would say, okay, well, how? How do we do that? Well, right after Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrite, he tells us how we can really engage God in a very powerful and personal way. In verse 6, he says this, in Matthew chapter 6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. But when you pray, now, once again, we have to say he's stressing the vital importance of this action of prayer. He says, but when you pray, assuming that we will be praying, which brings us to a great question of when do you pray? What time do you pray? When do you choose to meet with God? And he doesn't just say when, he says when you pray. And then he says, go into your room and close the door, which then brings the question, where do you pray? If there's a when to prayer, then there needs to be a where. At what location do you choose to pray? And then he says, close the door and pray to your Father, which brings another question, not when do you pray and where do you pray, but who do you pray to? You see, we don't pray to Jesus's mother. We don't pray to the saints, and we don't even pray to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus taught us to pray to the Father. He taught his followers to pray to the Father. Now, am I sitting here and tell you, if you call out and say, Jesus, that Jesus isn't going to hear that prayer is just bouncing around out there in outer space? No, that's not what I'm telling you. But I am telling you that Jesus gave us clear instructions, and he did not say, pray to me and I'll talk to the Father about it. He did not say, pray to my mother and the message will get to God. He says, when you pray, he says, you go into your room, you close the door, and you talk to your Father. You talk to your Father. Now, he says, whenever you pray, he says to go into that room and close the door, get into a place of isolation. Now, this is vitally important because there are some things that you need to say to God, and you need to say it in a space and a place where it cannot be misinterpreted or misunderstood by those around you. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 62. King David actually says that you would pour out your heart to the Lord, that you would pour out your heart, that you would tell God how you feel, that you would speak of your fears and your struggles and the things that you are dealing with, that you would be able to pour everything out to the Lord. Now, I want to remind you of this one thing. It's okay for you to pray from a place of frustration. We just can't pray from the place of pretension. We can pray with frustration, but we cannot pray with pretension. Why? Because it is okay. God will deal with our mistake, but he is not going to work with our faith. He can deal with our mistakes, but God is not going to work with our faith. The one thing that God asks is that when you would come to him, that you would come to him in the realness, the genuineness, the authentic self that you are, that you would come to him. And yes, you can pour out your heart to him. And that's why he says you need to go into a private space. You need to be isolated. Once again, are we saying you cannot pray with anybody else around you? No, you can pray with your spouse and you can pray with your family and you can pray in church. There is a time and a place. But if the only places that you are praying is when other people are around, then you don't have this special moment that Jesus is talking about, this moment of privacy and intimacy and isolation where you can truly pour your heart out to God. And if all you ever do is pray with people around you, you're going to be tempted to pray with pretense, acting as if you have more things together than you do, and there won't be this moment of bearing all before the Lord and just confessing to him of who you actually are and what it is that you are actually struggling with. So he says, when you pray, get in a place of isolation, close the door behind you. And then Jesus says, and the Father who is unseen, he sees what is done. He sees what is done in secret, and he will reward you. And Jesus is saying, this is the reward that you want. You do not want the reward of people thinking that you're great. You want the reward of God bringing his greatness into your life and into your situation. And whenever you pray to the Father and you connect with him on a personal and individual level, he sees what you do. And then it's not that people think you're great. It's that God brings his greatness and miracle working power into your life and into your situation. Jesus continues teaching his disciples, and he goes back and he says, and in verse 7, he says, and when you pray, do not. So he's still talking about the way we're not supposed to pray. Do not keep babbling like the pagans or the Gentiles, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So Jesus says, hey, don't pray like the pretenders, people who are praying to impress others. And then Jesus says, don't pray like the pagans, those who are praying to impress God. See, it's not the length or the volume or the eloquence of your prayer that is going to catch God's attention. Instead, Jesus says, your Father, he knows what you need even before you ask. Now, I want you to think of just for a moment about your recent prayers. And how many of those prayers were you informing God about what was actually happening in your life and also telling him what he needed to do about it? How many times, I know so many times I get caught telling God what's going on in my life and telling God what I think he should be doing about what is happening in my life. And Jesus says, hey, let's take a time out. He already knows. Why does he already know? Because he's a good father and because he cares. He cares. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is one of Jesus' disciples. He says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. He already sees you. He already cares. He already knows. He knows what's going on. You see, prayer is not our attempt to impress God with the length of our prayer. Prayer is not us trying to impress God with the volume of our prayer. It's not us trying to get God's attention so he will do something good for us. It's not trying to plead our case to God of saying, God, this is how bad we really need it. No, he sees, he cares, he knows. And so Jesus says, since that is the way it is, this is how you should pray. After telling us how we shouldn't pray, not like the pretender trying to impress others and not like the pagan trying to impress God, he says, this then is how you should pray. In verse 9, he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Notice that he starts with our Father. Not just Father, not my Father, but our Father. Letting us know right from the very beginning that this is bigger than me. This is about we. This is not about what's mine. This is about what is ours. Our Father. He is the father of the Peruvian prince. He is the father of the Nigerian pastor. He is the father of the German bishop. He is the father of the Philippine evangelist. And he is also the father of the Chinese school teacher and the Austrian mechanic and the Brazilian businessman and the Syrian refugee. He is the father of all of those on the planet who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, who have put their faith, hope, and trust in him as Lord and Savior. He is our Father. He is the father of those who vote like you. He is the father of those who don't vote like you. He is the father of those that hold to the denomination title that you do and those who do not hold to that denomination title. He is our Father all around the globe in languages spoken on every continent. This one thing we all have in common, and that is we have a Father, and he is not my Father. He is our Father. And that's how Jesus says the prayer should start, as a reminder that this is bigger than just me. Wow, this is our Father, our Father. And then he throws that word in there. He's our Father, right? Our Father. Father is a transformative idea that Jesus is introducing. It puts a mental image that God is desiring to be seen and approached as a father. Father is personal. Father is conversational. Father is relational. And he's saying, this is how God desires for us to approach him, our Father. This communication with the Creator, it should be intimate and it should be personal and it should be conversational. And he says, our Father. And then he moves into this next portion of the prayer and he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our holy is your name. You see, while it's vitally important that we understand the relationship that God wants to have with us is one of intimacy, it is also vitally important that we understand that the one we are praying to is also infinite. I love what Andy Stanley says. He says, God is intimate and infinite. He is intimate and infinite. And this is the point in our prayer where we should just pause for a moment and ponder who it is that we are actually talking to. The God who has no rival. The God who has no equal. The uncreated creator. The one who has graciously invited you and me to address him as our Father. Wow. But many times, actually, instead of stopping and pausing in this moment, we actually fly right past it. We might even skip it altogether. Why? Because I'm busy and I'm in a hurry and I've got to get to my list of informing God about what is going on in my life and what I think he needs to be doing about it. But this is the reason why we need to pause. Because when we pause to reflect on who God is, we gain a better understanding of who we are and why we are here in the first place. You see, this place, this moment in our prayer, this is where we recalibrate. This is the moment where we regain our bearings, where we recenter our priorities, where we reset our perspectives. There must be this moment of awe in our prayers as we approach our Heavenly Father, this moment of awe, this moment of remembering that God has invited me into his story. I did not bring him into mine. There is this moment of honor, this moment of putting God not in his rightful place in the universe, but the right place in my heart. I don't have to put him in the right place of his universe. God has that under control. But it's in this moment of awe, this moment of remembering, this moment of reflection, this moment of saying, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. For surely you are the uncreated creator. For surely you are the one that created the heavens and the earth. You are the one that hung the stars in the sky. You are the one that breathed life into humanity. That is who you are, and you are to be honored. It's this moment of putting God in his rightful place in my heart. And you see, without this pause, without this moment of reflection and meditation, we will miss the point of why we pray. And that's what we're going to pick up on next time. The point of why we pray. But before we wrap up today, I want to close. We're closing all of our messages out this year with a lead acrostic, because in 2021, we say this is our year of application. This is not just the season of life where we want to hear the word. No, this is the season of life where we're going to put his word into practice in our lives. This is the time where we're going to lead ourselves well. And how do we do that? What does it look like to lead yourselves well? It looks like learning, evaluating, applying, and then do it again. That's our lead acrostic for 2021. So today, what did we learn? What's our takeaway? Takeaway is this: we don't pray to impress others or God, but we pray to engage our Father. We don't pray to impress others. We don't pray to impress God. It's not about the eloquence of our words. It's not about how we posture ourselves while praying around others. It's not how loud we can get whenever we are talking to God. No. The purpose is to engage Him. I'm not trying to impress Him. I'm trying to engage Him, and I'm trying to engage Him as our Father. The evaluate is simply this: are you praying to engage the fixer or the Father? Are you praying to engage the fixer or the Father? Are you bringing your list to God? I mean, like, you are giving God a to-do list every time you pray. You are informing God about what's going on, and you are informing Him about what He needs to be doing about what's going on. Are you engaging the fixer? Are you engaging your Heavenly Father, who is holy and worthy of honor? The application is this: when you pray this week, pause. Think of who you are praying to: the intimate Father and the infinite Creator. As you pray this week, just take that moment. Don't just start with, "Heavenly Father, this is where I am and this is what's going." No. Pray as Jesus prayed. Pray the model that Jesus gave us. Pray the pattern that Jesus gave us. Our Father who is in heaven. His place in heaven is secure. He is ruling upon His throne in heaven. He is our Father in heaven, and His name is holy. He is infinite. That is who our God is. So whenever you pray this week, take that moment of pause and reflect and meditate upon who He is. And then the D is always the same, right? And it's simply, do it again. And this is the model. This is the pattern of prayer that Jesus gave us. When His disciples came and said, "Teach us how to pray like you pray. We like the way that you pray, and we like the results that you are getting. Teach us to pray like you pray." And Jesus started it with, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This week, let's pray that way. Our Father who is in heaven, your name is holy and worthy of honor. Can I pray for you today? Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. God, thank you that you have invited us into relationship with you. God, you are the one that made it possible for us to approach you in prayer by sending Jesus, your one and only Son, to die on the cross for us. Not just dying for us, but dying as us, taking our sins upon Himself so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be made whole, and so that our relationship with you, Father, might be possible. God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for making a way for us to be in relationship with you. Maybe right now, as you are listening to this message and listening to me pray even now, and you're saying, "Man, Philip, I just really need a relationship with God. I really need a relationship with God. I want to be a part of God's family." Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before, or maybe it's just been such a long and difficult journey, and you say, I don't really feel like I'm in the family right now. I feel so disconnected and distant from God. And you say, "But today I want a seat at His table. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I'm in relationship and fellowship with Him." And if that's you right now, we say, "God, that's what I truly desire, relationship with you." You need a new beginning. You need a fresh start in your life. Come on, just tell God right now. Just say, "God, that's me. God, that's me. That's what I desire. I desire what Jesus made possible. Jesus made it possible for us to walk in fellowship and relationship together." And God, I pray this week as we pray, God, that we would pray remembering who you are, that you are the God who is intimate and infinite. You are the God who has invited us to approach you as Father, but you are also
the powerful Creator God. And Lord, we thank you for that. We give you honor and praise today for everything that you are doing and continue to do in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 and amen. Hey, I hope that you will be back with us again next week, because next week we're going to continue going in, diving into the Lord's Prayer. As Jesus is teaching his followers to pray, and we're going to get down to the point of why do we pray in the first place. That's where we're going to pick up next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.